Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Manic Candace podcast. It's your girl Candace back at it again with a brand new episode of the podcast. And today, this morning, this evening, this afternoon, this good night, we're going to discuss a concept called decentering. And we're going to discuss that concept around decentering men, bad habits, and social media. Now, what does decentering mean? What does that concept mean? Well, to center something is to focus. And to decenter is to defocus. So what's something that is a focal point of your life? It could be lots of things. It could be your job. It could be weight loss. It could be financial struggle. It could be a lot of things that your life or your thoughts tend to revolve around. I have noticed that I spent a lot of time on social media, particularly Instagram, but not just posting and interacting with people, mainly seeking validation. And that is a problem for developing good self-esteem. And to have good self-esteem is to have high self-value. And all these things go hand in hand. So I want to talk about how I decentered social media, how that turned into decentering men, and how that transformed into decentering some of my bad habits. Now, when it comes to centering men, that means focusing on them, focusing on the male gaze, focusing on getting attention through likes, through DMs, through text messages, through people coming up to me in person. I focused on getting attention. This is going to sound embarrassing because it is embarrassing to admit that you did things for attention, but I'm here to hold your hand and I'm here to lead in this conversation that I did do things for attention, whether I was conscious of it or not. I think to a certain point it became a habit and I just was doing it out of habit, which is why we're going to talk about decentering bad habits. But what does it mean to decenter men? And why is it important? Well, decentering men means taking your focus off of what gets attention from men, like things that you do as a woman, or you don't have to be a woman, but like things you do to get attention from men. The way you dress, the way you smell, I mean, your makeup, like, I'm not saying every girl who gets dressed and does her makeup and her hair and wear perfume does it for the male attention and does it for male validation. I'm just saying that some of us do, whether we're conscious of it or not. And to be conscious of it and to change your reasoning why you do those things to be for yourself is a good thing, is a good move in a positive direction. Because when you constantly are placing your validation on external factors other than your, like, yourself, then you give those external factors power. And if those external factors were to suddenly leave or become non-existent or not available, then where's your sense of self-worth going to come from? Where's your self-esteem going to come from? Where's your self-love going to come from? Once you stop focusing on men and social media, I promise you it's going to make a huge difference in the way you feel about yourself. I will admit that to decenter and to defocus off social media and men, there is a withdrawal period, and we'll talk about that. But I just want to say that the patriarchy influences women to prioritize men's needs over their own in a lot of ways. Like when we get married, we're expected to take care of our husbands, right? That's just in a sense of like societal standards. But in other ways, like we're supposed to protect their ego, like we don't pay for dates. I was with a friend who was giving her boyfriend money and she made a comment. She said, he doesn't like it when I give him money. And so she further said he doesn't like it when I give him money in front of other people. So I'm like, oh, you're protecting his ego by giving him money not in front of other people. So we just, as women, we're expected to prioritize men's needs over our own and to take a stance and to be conscious and say, no, I'm going to prioritize myself and my own needs before anyone else's, because that's important. Even if you are a mother, you're supposed to prioritize others' needs, but if your needs aren't met, then how are others' needs supposed to be met? So, one way to decenter men is to set boundaries in your personal life and in your professional life. Sometimes men have a tendency to weaponize incompetence. And what that means is they'll pretend to not be good at something like household chores, dishes, laundry, cleaning. And so that way they'll pretend to be bad at it or do it half-assed. That way you'll do it the right way. And it just becomes a known thing that you are always going to be doing the cooking, the cleaning, the laundry, everything. Because you've put a man's needs before your own in that situation. But to set a boundary and say, and let's take that situation. Say like, no, you're going to clean. You're going to learn how to clean right. And you're going to do it. And I'm going to do my part. In the workplace, men can weaponize their incompetence. They might ask for help. They might even take advantage of your kindness. I have been in office settings where men, I can tell they like think I'm cute or, you know, but you're in a professional setting, so you can't hit on women. So their next thing is to constantly bombard you with, how you doing? Good morning. And I mean, it's more than usual. So, and I feel like women put men's feelings over their own. I feel like women put men's comfortability over their own in a lot of situations. We'll go out of our way to make a man feel comfortable so we don't get hurt. It's like a defense mechanism or like a safety mechanism. It's kind of sad. But set boundaries with men in your life, whatever that may look like. If there's a man that is annoying you, set a boundary. That is part of decentering them. Another way I decentered men is I stopped dressing with the male gaze in mind. Like, how that looked was, am I dressing because I want to look hot? Like, look hot for who? I found myself dressing up because I want to look hot. I told myself, I want to look hot for everyone. I want to look hot for me. But then at the main core of my intention was to, like, get male attention, because I am attracted mostly to men. And so I wanted them to look at me in my hot outfit. Like, that's like consciously, like talking about it out loud, it sounds stupid, but like when it's unconscious and when it's just automatic, like, oh, I'm gonna wear this or I'm gonna buy this because I'll get a compliment in it. From who? A guy, hopefully. Like, it sounds desperate, and it really is. And, like, dressing for me, it looks like comfortability. Sometimes that's not the sexiest thing in the world. It's cold outside. I want to be warm. I want something functional. Sometimes that's not always sexy, but, like, who cares? And that's what I found myself asking myself. Like, who cares? Who cares if the guy that you don't know thinks you're hot? Who cares about, like, I mean, perception is reality and perception is important. And the way people look at you is important. It should be important to you, like your image overall. But like, I'm not saying dress bummy or like a homeless person and like have everyone deal with it. And it's your power and it's your truth. I mean, if you want to, go ahead. But I just want to emphasize that you don't have to dress up for compliments. You don't have to dress up to impress. You don't have, I mean, like, not all the time. I'm a Leo, so it's like I do it all the time. Hi. You did me wrong, as I thought we were really gone. So you say you want me. So how do you decenter men and have a boyfriend, right? How do you decenter men and are actively dating? That seems to go, like, in the opposite. But like I said, set boundaries early on. I would encourage women to start, like, a 90-day rule. Something like that. Some type of, like, measurement to be like, okay, I'm not going to sleep with anyone that I first meet in the first 90 days. If we're dating, if we're boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever it is. That is a boundary that you can set. That way, you're not constantly... Because once you cross that boundary of sex, then there becomes this expectation. Sorry, the phone fell. There becomes this expectation of sex every time once you have sex for the first time. So that's how you can decenter men while dating. And while having a boyfriend. I guess it's a little more difficult if you have a boyfriend. But depending on how far you are with your boyfriend. Like, my friend with her boyfriend, she is all about her boyfriend. Her boyfriend is definitely the center of her life. And I wish that she would decenter him a little bit. Maybe by not tracking his location 24/7. Because she literally has his location on her phone. I've seen it. She'll be like, look, he's on this freeway. He's about to get off this exit. Because I noticed that when she's not in contact with her boyfriend or when he's not like a phone call away or a text away, if he doesn't answer on the first ring, she gets nervous. And I'm like, why are you so nervous? Like, why are you panicking? That is a dangerous place to be, because if he were to suddenly just... go away. I mean, God forbid, like, break up or go away or even, like, not be on his phone for a few hours. She's gonna freak. Because her life is centered around him. Got me twisted. I got everything you need tonight. What are you gonna do, baby? And this movement of decentering men has a lot to do with not having kids. I want to touch on that a little bit because lately I've been seeing posts online and social media like, oh, the bitches with no kids are the most miserable. And it's just like, who woke you up on the bad side of the bed today? Like, when you don't center men in your life, you're probably single, which is not a bad thing. But, you know, being single for so long, it's like you're not having kids. I mean, it wouldn't make sense if you did. But, like, who cares? But... it goes hand in hand. Like, me decentering men, like, I don't... okay. So, the guy I've been dating, it's getting kind of serious. Because, like, I know that, like, as I get older, I'm about to be 30 next year. Holy shit. But, like, as I get older, I start noticing that I'm dating with a purpose. And, like, I'm starting to see a future with this person that I've never seen with anyone else before. And I just think that's really cool. I've been fighting the nature to, like, wanting to center him around my life. But at the same time, I'm taking a step back. Like, he hasn't given you any type of, like, commitment that would suffice to what you're imagining. Because I'm imagining, like, making him lunch for his job. I'm imagining, like, doing his laundry because I like him a lot. He comes from a good family and I really value that, and he has a good head on his shoulders for being a young man. So, like, I really like that. and I really want to start my own family, whatever that looks like, whether it's just me and another person, whether it's just me, like, just me, but, like, I want to be more family-oriented. I want to be more domesticated, so yeah. I've been fighting the urge to, like, do extra or, like, go the extra mile in the relationship because he hasn't given me any type of, like, commitment that would deserve all this love, I guess. And I don't want to sell myself short in the situation. So, decentering men, it's a lot of unlearning. And, like, I noticed that I'm hardly on Instagram anymore ever since I decentered men. Hardly on it. And I don't think it's because, like, Instagram has had a death overall in the space of social media. Like, I mean, how many of you really use Instagram other than to post on a story once in a while and to stalk people? So I want to pivot a little bit, and then I want to talk about bad habits, breaking bad habits in general. What is a bad habit? A bad habit is something that you want to stop, but you keep doing. Smoking. Sometimes it's not doing something and getting used to not doing it. That becomes a bad habit. Like, when you're depressed, sometimes you get in the habit of not taking care of yourself. Not showering regularly, not brushing your teeth, not changing your clothes. Not grooming yourself. I know I've gotten into those habits. The first step in breaking a bad habit is being self-aware. You got to be really self-aware to realize what you're in the habit of not doing. Because it's easy to identify the habits that you are actively doing. Like, take a drug addict, for example. They are actively doing a drug they know is bad for them, and they want to stop, but it's difficult because they're addicted. Like, their body's addicted and their mind is addicted. The first step is to say, hey, I have a problem. That's being self-aware. Hey. Yeah. Tell me, fellas, have you seen this? It was about 5 minutes ago when I seen the hottest chick and I was young and never seen before. I say, yo. Side note, you guys, I applied for law school 3 weeks ago and I'm still waiting for my acceptance letter or my denial or like something. I applied to ASU Law and I applied to a specific program and it's a binding admission and like I want to change careers so bad and I miss school. I don't want to get like in debt, but like fuck it. I want to be a lawyer. So I've always wanted to be a lawyer. So like I just, going for it is one thing. You know what I mean? Like talking about it and like having to be your goal, but like actually doing it are two different things. So it's very exciting, but like it's so nerve-wracking because I haven't heard back. I feel like if they were going to deny me, they would have said it by now. But I don't know. That's just the nerves talking. So there are ways you can identify triggers that lead to unhealthy behaviors, that lead to your bad habits. Like, sometimes, like, getting in the car is a trigger, for me at least, because it gets me in the bad habit of, like, oh, maybe I should go buy donuts. Like, this morning I bought donuts. Sometimes waking up is a trigger. Setting a routine for yourself and setting roadblocks for yourself. Like, for example, if I'm having a craving, I'll set a roadblock for myself. Like, okay, if you're having a craving for something you shouldn't eat, like something sugary or something like eating out of boredom, I drink water first because it's like maybe I'm thirsty, you know? And then I'll eat something with protein, like chicken or something, before I give in to the craving. Sometimes I don't even give in to the craving. At first, it could be really annoying and a little daunting to write down your bad habits. Like, oh, shit, I'm fucked up. Sometimes you can feel like one big pile of fuck up. Like, you can feel really shitty about yourself. And try not to, like, get too down about yourself, because I definitely did. And it's okay. It's really okay. But once you are self-aware of the things that you want to change about yourself, start to create a habit loop that works in your favor. Like, this is going to require, like, minimal effort. But, for example, if I want to fit in a certain pair of jeans and I need to downsize, I can create a habit feedback by trying on those jeans every day. But at the same time, making changes to my diet and working out and seeing how the results change per day. You need to create something where you see results. Like, focus on the feeling of how you feel when your room is cleaned versus when you're cleaning it. That way, you're more motivated to clean. Focus on how you feel when you are fitting in the clothes that you want to fit in rather than working out. Focus on the reward rather than what it takes to get that reward. Think positive. Sometimes when, let's think practical about thinking positive. Let's talk practicality about thinking positive, because thinking positive, just that phrase is really annoying. Like, oh, I'll just think positive. Shut the fuck up. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, honestly. Like, that's another one. Be mindful. Shut up. Like, someone who has bipolar disorder like me, like, our minds are so based off our mood. Sometimes we don't even, like, think about what we're thinking. And just, like, letting thoughts pass through us unconsciously. And sometimes those thoughts can be really negative. I also have ADHD, so I tend to focus on things that I'm not doing while I'm not doing it and still not doing it. So it's really annoying. Like, everywhere I look around my apartment, I can think about something that I'm not doing or I haven't done. Like, for example, I'm looking at my paintings. Oh, you haven't done that in a while. Maybe you should get to it. And I'll think about that all day and, like, feel guilty and feel bad. I think about how my back hurts. And I'm like, oh, you haven't lifted weights. You haven't worked out. Maybe you should get to it. And so I'm focused on that, what I'm not doing. I look around cleaning. So let's just list some bad habits that I have. Not doing art every day. Not exercising every day. I mean, not like on a consistent basis. I have a habit of watching TV out of my phone instead of the actual TV, which is really annoying. I have a habit of eating donuts and sweets in the morning. I have a habit of just eating sweets in general. I have a habit of eating when I'm bored. I have a habit of falling asleep with podcasts on. Like, it's hard not to get down about yourself when you're listing your bad habits. But learn from your setbacks and maintain consistency, and you are on your way out of a bad habit. I promise you. More room for me in those jeans. If I told you to give me your phone for 1 week and I'll give you $1,000, would you do it? What if it was for 1 month or a year? I probably have to up that $1,000. But the point is, I want to get you thinking about decentering social media. And that involves decentering your phone. I'm on my phone a lot. It's a habit that I want to start breaking. Because I noticed that I can doom scroll for hours after work and then just fall asleep. And just, like, that's not a way to live. Like, I don't want to, like, unwind my mind every day by 3 to 4 hours of TikTok. Even though it's hilarious. even though it's like brain stimulating because it's like a constant hit of dopamine. But that's what your phone is becoming, is a constant hit of dopamine. It's becoming a drug, and it's like it's time to decenter, defocus your phone, and therefore that way you can decenter social media. Social media, I think the last time they did a study on this, like the average person checks Facebook 18 times an hour. The average person spends an hour and a half on TikTok per day. That's crazy. So, social media has a way of giving you the pressure of being perfect online. You know, your picture's got to be perfect with filters and, like, editing and, like, just how you're posed and everything. Your feed has to look perfect. Your name has to be perfect. Your name has to be consistent across all platforms. You have to brand yourself. Like, this is just, like, the pipeline to, like, creating an account and automatically going to, like, being an influencer is, like, or wanting to be an influencer is really, really alive. And it has been since social media started. I mean, who doesn't want to earn money and be popular online? Who doesn't want that? But it doesn't happen for the majority of us. And I feel like to step away from that unrealistic goal, because it is unrealistic. I mean, only a handful of people can achieve virality, fame, and monetization, like, all in, like, one sweep. It happens to the most attractive. It happens to people who have sex online. That's a fast way to, like, get attention, is to have sex online. People don't really want to talk about that. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, if there's a girl who seems like she looks regular, has a million followers, and seems to do nothing with her content, has an OnlyFans. Social media has affected romantic relationships and dating in a negative way, I feel like. I feel like as soon as you post your partner, you open your relationship up to scrutiny. You open your relationship up to third-party situations. And it's sad that it has to be that way. I mean, like, why can't we show each other our love that we have for another person that we're in love with and it not be a positive thing? Everything on social media over the years became performative. We're posting because we want to perform that we're rich. We're posting because we want to perform that we're attractive, maybe even more attractive than we are in person. We want to perform that we can achieve these certain heights. We want to perform that we can have a certain life or a certain lifestyle. It's gotten ridiculous. And the most dramatic way you could possibly decenter social media is to delete everything. But if you love social media genuinely and you don't see yourself being off of it, start decentering. Make burner accounts. Make meme pages. Only live for what's funny on social media. I'm so serious. Once you start being a part of the conversation instead of starting to start a conversation, it becomes a lot more fun. It becomes a lot more engaging. You feel like you're a part of something. You feel like you're a part of, like, a collective conscious. You feel like it's not, because I used to go on social media like, okay, how can I get the most likes today? How can I get the most shares? How can I get the most comments? How can I get the most engagement? How can I... And once I started posting because I wanted to post, even if I knew it wasn't going to get any likes or anything, I just started posting, or I started replying to things, like my honest thoughts. That's when I got the most engagement. That's when I got the most likes. This past year on Twitter, or X, I got over 3 million impressions. That's insane. With my little account of 666 followers. If you don't see yourself, like, totally decentering social media, I encourage you to go on a cleanse. you know, even for one day, I challenge you to decenter social media. It might be annoying, but like once you make a habit out of it, after about a week, like you start feeling less and less anxious. I don't know if you noticed, but it's like an anxious thing to check social media to like wonder if you got a like. Now I don't even think about it. It's not even a thought when it used to consume most of my thoughts. Getting attention off social media. It sounds so pathetic now that I say it out loud. And I feel like my mind is more free to focus on what's important, and it's making money. It's getting these bills paid. It's saving money. It's like making sure that my home's good and just all that. I feel like the older you are, the more time you don't have to waste on things like social media, on things like bad habits, on things like focusing on what's gonna get a man turned on. Oy vey. This has been Candace with the Manic Candace podcast. Thank you for listening. Please share this episode with your friends, family, and your followers. Happy New Year. I might talk to you before the new year, but if I don't, Happy New Year. It's 2025. Woo! All right, my friends, I bid you adieu. Bye-bye.